90.7.
Gotta love that intro, eh?
Love it.
It's a nice little, PG. Could have said something a lot worse there, but we like to keep it family friendly on the face. I am taking you in the for the first half hour today. My name is Matt Coffin, and with me today is
Christy Dox.
Oh, hi, Christy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. You doing anything for Valentine's Day?
No. I mean, I could figure stuff out with my friends, but nothing specific. No.
Oh. Well.
How about you?
I was going to ask you if you want to do something for Valentine's Day.
Matt? Oh, my gosh.
I guess you passed up. I've already found someone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see? Jess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, let's... here's we got some weird news stories to start this day off.
We do. So, two men in New Brunswick have been arrested for going through a McDonald's drive-thru on a couch.
Was it, like, a love seat, or...?
I don't know. I just know that it was a couch, and they went through the drive-thru... Trying to order some McDonald's. They were intoxicated, if that makes it different.
Honestly, I think that makes it that much better.
Yeah, so they were 28 and 39, and they are facing charges that are yet to be determined. Experts say it's illegal to go on a couch through a drive-thru, but they were wearing helmets, so...
Oh, safety first, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right here. Get a big bump, lose all your fries, and maybe you're yourself as
absolutely
well.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, that's a lot of effort you got to put in to go through a couch, tow a couch through a drive-thru, but
especially when they're drunk at like 3 a.m.
you need McDonald's.
I feel like they may have pre-arranged this.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, guys, I think we're going to go on a couch run tonight.
Yeah,
just hook it up to the trailer before we start drinking, and we'll see where the night takes us.
Yeah,
can't say I've ever done that. Maybe on like a toboggan down a hill. But
I've seen people go through bikes, but like that's allowed. Couches, never seen.
I don't know why we can't walk through it. Like
you can at certain times. The one near my house, you can walk through it, but
oh, well, I gotta move. It's too hard at 2 a.m. You know, come home from a bar, you just want some munchies, but you don't have a car because that's bad. Drinking and driving, do not do that, kids.
Yeah. What else is weird? Dolphins using blowfish to get high. Matt, what's that all about?
Well, you know, Canada's legalizing weed, probably within the next few years, but I think dolphins kind of beat us to the punch here. Yeah, they're starting to use blowfish, putting them in their mouths for a bit, and it's giving them a little, leave a body high. It's nice. Murdoch University researcher Kristen Nicholson, who monitors dolphins, said that there were several records of them interacting with blowfish in estuaries and coastal waters around the world. Said in Australia, scientists have seen juveniles mouthing blowies in the Leshnot Estuary in southwest, and sub-adult dolphins carrying an inflated, well, they call it blowy in this article. We're going to say blowfish now.
Okay.
For a few hours at a time. And I guess there was this one calf that they've been following around. And it looks like they call it Hubster. Born in Darsville, and maybe about a year old, already, you know, getting high off some blowfish, which is, I think, a bit young to be starting that. Like, I know, like, marijuana legalization is a bit iffy right now in some places, but, blowfish.
Dolphins have beat the system.
Sons of fish.
They've gotten us all. Beat us to it.
Well, I'm just, you know what? I'm a big fan of sushi, but I've even heard... eating a blowfish is probably the most dangerous thing. So I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Drugs are bad.
Otherwise, a guy from Australia, I believe, has built a wall around his house to keep his ex out.
Smart man.
Yeah. he basically just built a wall and said he believed God was on his side for this. Because... he also got the inspiration from Donald Trump, who was going to go ahead and build a wall along the Mexican border. But he decided, you know, he doesn't want his ex around. Just build a wall around his house. He did use some barbed wire for this little mission he's doing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photos now. This man, he must not really like his ex because he put in a lot of work. Like, you remember when you were, like, kids, you make little, like, couch forts and things like that? Like, this dude took nails, barbed wire, I think he, like, shoved a bunch of these logs in the ground, too, because this thing is sturdy. And, yeah, he looks like his wife, or his ex, I should say. I really didn't believe it, but then I saw it, and it was a big shock. And what is even bigger shock to me, he has a catapult. A fully functional catapult, I guess, in case she comes within, like, 500 yards.
Nice.
Yeah, I gotta keep her at bay.
Oh, I wonder what she did.
So that's
must have been a bad breakup.
She probably said, no, you're not allowed building a wall around my house.
Yeah.
And then, oh, last straw right there in that family.
Oh, Tony. My. This Tony guy, he knows what's good.
It's unbelievable. You know, some people, you know, we're just gonna, you just gotta, just everybody love everybody.
You gotta.
But yeah, I think we're gonna go into a bit of real world news now. No more of this kind of obscure stuff. Now, Paige, there's some news in the world today.
There is. So, it's Paige, and I'll be giving you your news for today. Justin Trudeau is at the White House today for his first meeting with President Trump. Trudeau is meeting with Trump with one goal in mind, to help Canada avoid U.S. trade issues. All of this is because Trump wants to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, as well as enforce a possible border tax and bring back Buy American protectionism. The issue is viewed as a huge threat to more than $2 billion in daily trade that goes across the world's longest undefended border. The two held a joint press conference just moments ago. Ontario Provincial Police reported over 400 collisions throughout the GTA Sunday afternoon after being hit with 15 centimeters of snow. Many of the crashes were single-vehicle accidents, and most of them were definitely preventable. One deadly crash was reported around 4 a.m. between a minivan and a pickup truck at Bathurst Street and King Road. Police say that drivers need to slow down and turn on their lights and reduce visibility. The snow also caused many flights out of Pearson and Billy Bishop Airport to be canceled. Crews were out this morning salting the roads as more flurries are expected for today. Atlantic Canada is preparing for a potentially life-threatening blizzard today. People are being told to avoid traveling in places like New Brunswick and are to stay away from all shorelines. This evening, due to the possibility of flooding and damage. Base Gage Town, New Brunswick's capital city, has gotten 53 centimeters of snow so far, and the local amounts for Nova Scotia are reaching 80 centimeters. Winds of up to 110 kilometers are expected as well. Almost all of Nova Scotia has shut down, PEI schools have closed ahead of the storm, and Newfoundland is preparing to get hit. Power outages are beginning to climb, with more than 2,400 people already without power as of 2:15 p.m. today. Many flights out of Moncton and St. John airports have been canceled, and the Fredericton airport has closed until Tuesday at 6 a.m. The storm should move out of the southwestern regions overnight, but will continue throughout Tuesday for the eastern half of Nova Scotia, PEI, and New Brunswick. Another storm is expected to hit the Maritimes on Thursday. And now we'll head back over to Matt Coffin.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I don't want to be in the Maritimes right now. It's a bit chilly out there, I guess. But, yeah, forgot to tell you guys, I went away this weekend up to Parry Sound, and just a bit north, a place called Seguin Falls. And, yeah, apparently where I was staying was a bit of a ghost town. And it wasn't what you would expect. You think a lot of dilapidated things and stuff like that, but it was really peaceful and really a lot of cottagers up there. So I got a chance to talk to one of the residents, and yeah, it's kind of a bit eerie when you're walking around and everything like that. But yeah, it was a nice little tour around. And interesting history. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but yeah, pretty much all cottage country areas are like classified as ghost town. So let's see what Jordan had to say. Once a staple for the Ontario logging industry, Seguin Falls quickly became deserted in the 1950s. Now, mostly cottagers remain. I asked Jordan Mosca, a third-generation resident, to take me on a tour of a town that once was.
Yeah, Seguin Falls was an early colonization town right around the time when there was an opening between Lake Rosseau and Lake Nipissing. It was a very prominent railway and timber industry actually cutting through, as you can see behind us. And there's a lot of history here in Northern Ontario that people don't really know about. And it wasn't until a road that opened up Gravenhurst to Magnetawan opened that this town really fell into despair, and it wasn't as colonized as it used to be.
In 1955, when the railway completely stopped operating forever and the final general store shut its doors,
the population dwindled to less than 50. In the next few years, all buildings became a memory of what the town used to be.
Now it's a very popular cottage industry with a lot of snowmobilers and just a lot of nice places around the lake. Even though it's considered a bit of a ghost town, like, it's a very popular cottage destination all year round.
One thing, however, may make you take that 3-hour trip up north to visit a little bit of Canadian history.
Very close to Parry Sound, which our claim to fame is the home of Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr, behind the net to Sanderson, to Orr! Bobby Orr! Scores for the Boston Bruins! The
next time you go through a ghost town, maybe stop for a bit. You never know what hidden gems you might find. A little nice change of pace, you know. I thought I was going to see a bunch of like old mossy buildings and stuff, but it was so nice, so peaceful.
I was going to say the snow must have made it super, almost like relaxing.
Lovely.
Yeah. So just lovely.
Like, around Valentine's Day, it's just like melts my heart. And I know that some people, their hearts melted last night at the Grammys. Some lovely performances, I heard. Or Jess, you got any entertainment updates for us?
I have a ton. So big news for entertainment today, since there was a huge star-studded event last night. So I'm Jessica Palumbo, here with your entertainment news. So let's take a look.
Hollywood.
You ain't heard nothing yet. It's showtime.
Yeah.
So, the 59th annual Grammy Awards took place last night, and it was a huge night for Adele, who took home Album and Song of the Year. She went over Beyonce, who she gave a shout out to on both trips to the stage. She dedicated Album of the Year to Beyonce, saying, "My dream and my idol is Queen B. I adore you." Beyonce had tears in her eyes as she said, "You move my soul every single day, as you have done for nearly 17 years." Adele goes on to calling Beyonce's album monumental, beautiful, and soul-bearing. She said, "The way you make my black friends feel is empowering, and the way you make them stand up for themselves, I love you, and I always have." So really emotional night. You could see Beyonce's tears in her eyes, and just, it was so awesome how Adele dedicated that award to her. The best pop duo group performance winner was 21 Pilots, and they gave an unexpected touching speech after taking stage in their underwear. The group said it was a few years ago, just before they were able to make any money playing music. He called him up and said, "Hey Josh, you want to come over to my house and watch the Grammys?" And he said, "Yeah." They were hanging out, and just as they were watching, they noticed that every single one of them was in their underwear. And they turned to each other and said, "If they ever won a Grammy, they should receive it just like this." So it was really touching to see, you know, the struggles of a coming up artist, just being able to go up there and accept that Grammy. Just like normal people.
Normal people in their underwear?
Yeah. You don't hang out in your underwear?
No, I like pants.
All right, well, you're weird. and other Grammy news, there's so much that happened. A couple of highlights. Beyonce performed, which was amazing. I love Beyonce. She is queen, and she always will be. Adele sang a George Michael tribute, which she had to start over for messing up. She said, "I got to start this over. I got to do it right." Bruno Mars performed a Prince tribute, which really showed how many talents that we lost in 2016. Katy Perry performed her new single, and Lady Gaga also performed with Metallica. And what were the misses of the show? I would have to say the biggest one for me was CeeLo Green's outfit, where he dressed in all gold and kind of looked like a Ferrero Rocher chocolate. Speaking of one of my favorite things, chocolate, I got to speak about my other favorite things, which is music festivals. So Way Home just released their lineup, and I can't wait. Imagine Dragons, Flume, and Frank Ocean are some of the artists to be headlining. In the past, Way Home has done a great job building that excitement and hype for the festival. This year, Way Home mailed out Polaroid photos to fans and added them to Facebook and Instagram, kind of teasing them and clues who will be in the lineup. But this year, people don't seem too excited about it. The Facebook comments for the lineup were Way Home's worst lineup this year. And another Facebook comment here is, "Looks like it's going to be Stay Home 2017, which is kind of weird to me because I love Frank Ocean. I love Imagine Dragons. So
That's the camping festival, right?
Yeah. So I guess people don't want to camp if they're not into the artists that are performing, but I thought it was all right.
3 days of music and just, you know, camping out. That sounds like a great weekend.
Yeah, and it's also, they have art there and other fun stuff to do. Yeah, for sure.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, well, we're running a little bit short on time here, so we're going to move it along.
Sports?
I think some sports updates would be good.
You want a little sports update?
Not my cup of tea, but, you know, I guess people have to hear it.
Oh, they're going to hear it. Sean.
Well, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear from me, guys, because I'm Sean McConnell, and I'm here to tell you what's going on in the world of sports.
Hello, the finish. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life. Let's talk. Hey, shoots and scores.
What's going on, Sheridan? I'm going to start off with our own Sheridan Bruins today. The men's volleyball team has clinched playoffs with a big 3-0 win over Conestoga. Sitting at sixth place out of the West, the Bruins will hit the road to take on the East third place team, Canador, on the 18th. The winner of that game, hopefully Sheridan, they will head to the OCAA Championships at Mohawk the following weekend. Our girls team, on the other hand, have had some unfortunate luck. They will not be saying playoffs, regardless of their big 3-0 win over Conestoga. Finishing the season with 8 wins and 10 losses, the girls don't qualify to continue, but hey, they fought a hard season, and they have done Sheridan proud. MLB fans, get psyched. Spring training starts tomorrow. That is right. Man, I wish I was out in Dunedin to watch some early Jays action. Going to be an interesting season with addition and, of course, loss of players. Edwin and Castagnon. But we did pick up some new solid faces. DH Kendrys Morales, first base Steve Pearson, pitchers J.P. Howell and Joe Smith. Of course, we do have the return of our favorites, Donaldson, Martin, Pilar, last-minute Bautista, etc. Don't know about you, but I'm excited. Not sure if you guys heard, but Barry Davis is also taking the door for the Jays. The lovable, hateable fan, the sideline reporter, Barry Davis, he has tweeted that he has gone on to explore new options. It's not clear if he's been pushed out of the door by the Jays or if he chose to leave, but... yeah, we'll see what happens with that. The Leafs faced a tough 3-1 loss against the Sabres last night. Evander Kane came out hot, putting away 2 for Buffalo, with Robin Leonard stopping 43 shots. Mitch Marner really had the only goal for Toronto. The Leafs sit at 4th place with 61 points, trailing a 3rd place Boston by 3. So before I get into the Raptors game last night, I'm going to bring on our previous show's sports guru, Brendan Zarahoon. Brendan knows a thing or two about the NBA and the game of basketball.
Yes, I do.
He knows a couple things. And the reason I'm bringing it on, it was a really crazy game, and I really need help fully understanding what exactly went wrong last night against the Pistons. From my point of view, I watched the game. It was eight out of 10 times the Raptors are going to beat the Pistons.
Yeah, normally it's not a cause of concern when they lose to the Pistons, but the Raptors have been dropping so many games lately to bad teams, such as the Philadelphia 76ers, that... it's really starting to spark rumors around the team. Like Kyle Lowry, last game, post-game interview, he said that there needs to be a change and that he doesn't know what it is, but he's going to keep it professional.
What do you think that change would be? Do you think it's between? Because
it's either the coach, because they don't seem to really be responding to his messages right now, and it seems like they might need to.
You don't think it's another player?
No, because they're supposed to be a defense-first team, and. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league right now.
It's funny because last night, Jack Armstrong, during the game, it was around the second quarter, I'd say, he was saying how good of a defensive team they were playing last night. And then, in the last, 3 minutes, they just blow it. And you think throughout the entire game, it's either going to be a landslide victory or they're just going to beat the Pistons by a couple points, and then it ends up
It really seems to be like a game plan thing, because throughout most of the game, they're doing a great job like defending, and then... the last couple of minutes, there's no game plan. There's no, like, the players get hot and they don't make the adjustments they need to make. So.
No, I feel you. Last night, for the Pistons, Harris, he lit the team up with 24 points. Pope came in with a clutch shot.
Pope had the three at the end.
The 13 second three-pointer.
The building right there.
Man, yeah, just crushed all Toronto Raptors fans. So we're going to head back over to our hosts, Christy and Matt Coffin. Thanks for listening into sports. I'm Sean McConnell. You guys have a good day, Sheridan.
All right, thanks, guys. That was great. Hopefully the Raptors do something after this All-Star weekend, because,
brutal.
They're playing like the Leafs used to play. Fourth quarter collapse, third period losses. Yeah. This is typical Toronto hockey team. But let's give a little quick weather update. Just so you guys know what you're doing for the next 5 days.
And now it's time to take a look at our weather.
It's raining sideways!
Sounds rough, Ollie.
Come on, the weather outside is weather.
All right, today it's going to be cloudy with a 60% chance of showers later in the afternoon. Oh, sorry, that's tomorrow, February the 14th, Valentine's Day. It may rain on some of those dates.
Darn.
Yeah, and let's start with today now. Cloudy with 30% chance of flurries early this afternoon, then a mix of sun and cloud throughout the day. We're going to have a high of zero, and tonight it's going to be partly cloudy, becoming cloudier this evening, and we're going to have a low of minus 5 with temperatures rising to minus 2 by next morning. And, sorry, I guess, yeah, tomorrow it's going to be 6% chance of showers in the afternoon, and we're looking at cloudy with 40% chance of flurries and a low of minus 1 in the nighttime. So, doing it on those horse-drawn carriage rides, bundle up. Then Wednesday, we've got cloudy with a high of 0, and later in the night, it's going to be low of minus 6. Thursday, we're looking at a high of minus 2, and then in later in the night, it's going to be a bit cloudy with a low of minus 6. Then Friday, take it in the weekend, we got a high of plus 1 and low of minus 1. So that's your weather for the next 5 days. So, yeah, pretty much tomorrow, you hope you better be inside at some sort of restaurant or by a nice fire, some fondue maybe.
I like that.
Chocolate and cheese. Best there is. So, yeah, right now we got a little package that was put together by our in-studio producer, Eleni. Now, we call packages, that's what we're going to send her out on the street. And she talked to some people about Valentine's Day. And officially, she says, yeah, they asked some Sheridan students what they thought was the most romantic thing someone could do for them on Valentine's Day. And here's what they had to say.
Probably get me roses, red roses, for Valentine's Day. And pizza, and just watch movies the entire night.
I think a guy could... yeah, spend a lot of time with you and get you flowers and take you out to dinner. That would be nice.
Honestly, there's only one thing a girl could do for me, and that's buy pizza.
I think the most romantic thing a guy could do for me is show up to my house with a bouquet of chicken nuggets, and then we hop into a limo, and he takes me to the mall and buys me whatever I want from Sephora.
All right, so yeah, interesting choices that people came up with. Everyone just wants to chill. You don't want to go out.
All about the extravagant things nowadays.
I think I would like to do something like a little different. Like if they plan like an extravagant, like not extravagant, but something different.
Axe throwing.
That stuff is fun. I like axe throwing.
Yeah,
I know where to take her on a date.
Axe throwing would be good. It might not be good if the date goes wrong, but you know.
You do get a lot of anger out, I must say.
A lot of anger, axe throwing? Jeez, that's a lot of aggression built
Don't
up.
Don't take Christy axe throwing, people.
I'm actually good at it.
Take her to Hooters and bring a picture of her ex.
I will.
So, yeah, so we have an interesting, very interesting, I guess, business merger that happened in the previous week. Christy, you want to give us a quick update on that?
Yeah, so the makers of Durex condoms now also own a baby formula brand. Who knew?
If that is an irony.
I
don't know.
I don't know. So it's a $16.6 billion deal that they made. And
$16.6 billion.
It's like a consolation prize. It's like, sorry, our condoms didn't work. Here's the food. Yeah. Support your baby.
It's going to get combo packs and shoppers. Yeah.
Covering all of your needs all at once. Let's just say.
I love this one tweet. Do you want to read it?
Yeah. So this one guy tweeted, Durex purchased a company that makes baby food. They're just covering all bases for when the condom fails. Smart. I like the move.
The consolation prize.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like, you know, you're going to win either way. And then right around Valentine's Day, what's better news?
It's more of a participation ribbon, I'd say.
Maybe they should put some, like, coupons in the condom boxes for future baby formula, you know?
Yeah.
Are you on their marketing team?
I should be.
Start to tweet at them, you know?
Yeah, hit me up, guys. You hear this?
Copyright, Jess Palumbo, yes, 2017.
TM.
I see some coupons in those boxes, and
I'm gonna be mad.
Some royalty checks coming your way.
For sure. I think those are just like two things that shouldn't go together at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, some other one's saying, isn't that a conflict of interest? And like,
I'm
kind of leaning more towards like this is kind of a smart buy for him, you know? Buy a company and your condoms don't work, or you know, you decide to plant a family.
They got you covered for everything.
Well, we all know babies come from the stork anyway, so I don't know what the two have to do with each other.
Yeah, and I guess kind of found this other interesting little story coming out of Huffington Post today.
I enjoy a good story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Do you guys like chocolate?
Love chocolate.
I am debatably a chocoholic.
What's everybody's favorite? Just want to know.
Oh.
Chocolate.
I like
Bounty.
Yeah, I like coconut. Chocolate.
Coconut.
I've never
chocolate.
Tried it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Out of all the chocolate bars you could have.
It's like arrows, like bubbles. Bounty.
Guys.
That is so unique.
Also Reese's Pieces.
It's all about the Reese's Pieces.
I could go either way. It depends what I'm feeling. I feel like coconut's a bit lighter, but if I want to be, you know.
If you want to just eat a lot of chocolate, it's Reese's.
Underrated crunch bars, just saying.
I've never had.
Underrated.
Never had the Bounty, never had the crunch. I'm
the
like
ones.
A.
They're blue with the red writing and it has
like
the
you know what I like?
Crunchy,
the toffee.
Oh, no.
Those are the best.
No.
I'm all about like the Arrow, the Kit Kat, the Reese's.
Yeah.
I used to hate chocolate.
I could eat myself into a coma with peanut M&M's.
Okay, now I'm getting hungry, so let's move this along.
What's the story?
Well, okay, well, the reason I brought it up is that there's a job opening for a chocolate taster.
Right here.
It's like chocolate lovers, your dream has arrived. Mondelez International, owner of Tasty Treats, including Cadbury and Oreo, is looking to hire a chocolate taster to test out the company's products. But there's a catch. It's only part-time.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, you have to move to England.
That's okay.
I will move to
anywhere.
A third world country if I can be a chocolate taster.
So it's pretty much, just these are the hours. If you're available to eat chocolate from 12:15 to 2:45 p.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, then, if you don't want to fly to England every Tuesday morning.
I'll do it.
Done.
Get some chocolate for a few days.
They have really good candy shops over there. Like, there's a lot of candy shop, like candy we don't have in North America. They have in Europe and stuff.
Have
it's
you ever
just
been?
Phenomenal. No, but they do have, like, those British eats and treats shops
around.
Yeah,
when my friend goes, she's from Ireland, she brings back all a bunch of cool chocolate, and I'm just
so
like,
good.
But now I can't even eat it, so.
Why not?
I'm vegan now.
Oh.
Sure, can't eat chocolate?
They have vegan chocolate.
There's, like, vegan, like, dark, real chocolate doesn't have dairy in it, like, dark chocolate.
Oh, like the 95% cocoa.
Yeah. Dark chocolate's like disgusting.
Oh, I like it.
No, I don't.
Especially with, like, the sea salt.
Apparently really healthy for you. Glass of red wine and
it's like grown on a ranch, so it's technically a vegetable.
I'll stick to my crunch bars.
Stick to my Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups.
Yeah, whatever, guys. I'll just go hide in the corner.
I love how even with this description here of this job, it says you must have a firm grasp of English.
I do.
You do?
Do you think I qualify for this job?
Are you able to give honest and constructive feedback?
Yes.
You can be objective at times.
Yes.
May say it's a bit nutty or it's too salty.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I will give whatever opinion I need about chocolate for this job.
Oh, there's an application online. If you really feel like it, we can check that out. Go over to the Huffington Post and they'll let you go.
Christy, what was this thing you're telling me about a snake or something?
Oh yeah.
The other
so
this morning.
Yeah. Basically, this guy went to a pet shop and decided he wanted to steal a little 18-inch boa constrictor. And the way he did this was by stuffing it in his pants.
So you're saying he had a trouser stink.
Oh, hey-o. Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely not the 18 inches you want in your pants.
Oh.
Ayo.
Wriggling it around.
Happy
there.
Valentine's Day, everyone.
It was caught on camera, let's just say that. But
that's interesting. I'd have to say, out of all the animals, snakes would be my least favorite.
Seriously.
They creep me out.
Imagine walking out of the store, though, and you like, sir, I think you have something in your pants. Like, no, there's just something moving around, like, wiggling around. And like, what is that?
Don't worry about
it. See, I don't think I would question that. If I saw that, I'd let the guy go.
Like, you're so desperate
maybe
for a snake. You have to show me.
Maybe the guy was Lord Voldemort, and he was just looking for a new snake, you know?
But I think the weirdest thing is, on this closed caption TV that they got it, he had a backpack. He had, like, a little bag. That could
why not put it in your bag?
Put the snake in
gotta
your bag.
Gotta put it in your pants.
So at least it wasn't a tarantula.
It's a party.
So,
it's a party.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Yeah, there's that. Anyway.
So I guess
That's a good
moral
story for
moral
our show.
Of the story today. Moral of the show is don't put snakes in your pants, and chocolate is amazing.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah.
Thanks for the moral of the story today. All right, well, I'm Jessica Plummer, your entertainment host.
Sean McConnell, your sports host.
Paige Ogden, your news host.
Christy Knox, your talk host.
And Matt Coffin, and this has been 90.7 The Face.
Have
the
a good face. Day.
Peace.
The Face.
The face. 90.7. Suck my face.